This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Steve Jones Show. We are sponsored by Brewers Outlet.
Darn right we are.
Good. It always makes me nervous when you're not here.
Nah, I was actually finishing up something on the University of Washington I needed, so sorry about that.
I don't mind that. It's just that it always makes me think you didn't connect, and then there might be some things I have to do.
We're connected. It's all good. Everything about college sports changes tomorrow. We've had incredible change over the last few years, last 2 to 3 years. We've had tremendous change with NIL, transfer portal. But tomorrow's the day that it will change forever. Because now, as of tomorrow, it is going to be the ability for athletes to be paid directly by the university. Okay? So far, along the way, the Big 12 and the ACC have both said yes to the House settlement. Big 12 was first. It was unanimous. And I'd like to point out that these votes do not have to be unanimous, just so you know. But the Big 12 was unanimous. If you're wondering about Texas and Oklahoma, they abstained in the vote, only because they're exiting as members of the conference. Thus, they felt they should abstain and just let the 12 existing members that will be members next year have them vote. The ACC presidents then voted. Now, they did that virtually. The ACC presidents voted in person in Charlotte at their meetings last night. They passed it. It's a 13-page term sheet that contains the settlement language. The key parts of the settlement include the NCAA paying more than $2.7 billion in back damages over a decade. $1.6 billion, though, is going to be withheld from schools. This is the part that will affect Penn State, Bucknell, and every school. All right. There's roughly $20 million in permissive revenue sharing that is expected to begin in the fall of 2025. This is where everything changes forever. This revenue sharing will give athletic departments the direct ability to pay the players, which is the gigantic shift in college sports. The point of the school settling is to avoid even bigger damages, which legal experts considered a likelihood considering the NCAA's poor record in court cases. Okay, I would like to point out that essentially the NCAA is the 1976 Tampa Bay Buccaneers in court. O for life. By the time the day is over with tomorrow, the Big Ten will vote yes. The SEC will vote yes. The Pac-12, and yes, the Pac-12, the current members of the Pac-12, because they are still a conference, will vote yes. And then there's the NCAA Board of Governors. They will vote. By the end of tomorrow, this settlement will be in place. As we told you last week, this would be the week it would happen. And so far, it's happening on exactly the timetable we told you. So, leagues only need majority votes to settle. The Big 12 was unanimous. I don't know if the ACC was or not, but it passed. The Big 10 will need 8 votes. USC and UCLA will be voting with the Pac-12 because they are still current members of the Pac-12. So it's the 14 schools in the Big 10. They need 8 to pass. In my understanding is it's going to be unanimous. Now, what is not worked out here? Let's discuss what is not worked out. Because it's going to take at least 6 months until details are worked out. And they're going to have to work out these details before Senior District Judge Claudia Wilkin can approve the settlement. There is no clarity on Title IX's role in the revenue sharing. Again, they've got the basics for the agreement here, the important financial basics. But there's no clarity on Title IX's role in revenue sharing, so they have to work that out. There's no clarity yet on roster caps and how that will work out. There's no clarity yet on the enforcement of what NIL will look like. Now, NIL is expected to continue to exist in addition to revenue sharing. The question is, will they cap it because of this? I also would have to ask the question, and this is something I'll bring up with Pat Kraft when he and I meet. Does cost of attendance still, is cost of attendance still going to be included? All right. If you're a Penn State athlete, that's $4,500 to $5,000 a year. Multiply that times they have 833 student athletes here. Well, if it doesn't have to continue because you've got the 20 million, that can at least create a dent of $3 to $4 million. You see what I'm saying here in terms of moving money, which is important. But I'll ask that question. It's going to take 6 months before they can work all this out. Here's the next part. As part of the agreement, all Division I athletes have the opportunity to object to the terms or opt out of the class. All right? Now the odds of them opting out are extremely long. They're going to have a preliminary hearing at some point to review the terms of the settlement. That's why this is not going scheduled to start until the fall of 2025. This is not going to kick into gear right now. There are still other legal steps that have to be taken. So it's going to take months for this to happen. Right? Now, there's the next step, and that's Congress. Congress, they would like to see narrow exemptions from future lawsuits. In other words, antitrust exemption. The industry belief has been that Congress could be more willing to help college sports as opposed to saving it. Now that there is a structure moving forward that includes the revenue distribution for players. In other words, it takes a lot of off Congress's plate that this has happened. And now the door is open. Okay, Now maybe we can talk about antitrust exemptions where you can now negotiate the rest of it. Because remember this, the NFL, I'm going to have to look this up. What's the NFL percentage of that the players get?
I think the salary cap percentages for most sports is like between 49 and 52.
This is 53%.
53.
Yep. Wait a minute. Hold on a second here. I may not have that right. I looked it up, but it came up as something different. From what's the collective bargaining agreement from CBA? Okay. They get 48.5%. All right. That's what the NFL players get, 48.5% of the revenue share. In this agreement, the revenue share is 22% or 20 million, whichever number is lower. You're going to have somebody that is going to say, why is the NFL getting 48.5%? We're getting 22%. I'm telling you, see, these are all, again, every time you do something, you always have to ask, what are the unintended consequences? I'm telling you, somebody's going to bring this up. Now, it should be pointed out that Jeffrey Kessler is the attorney here, and he helped negotiate this. Well, if that is what they've negotiated, that should pass the muster, okay?
You said the players have to vote too, right?
They have the right to opt out of it.
No. The players in the class action suit have to approve the settlement too, right?
Well, you're talking about Grant House and
yeah.
Well, if their attorney agrees to it,
yeah, that's true.
I mean, that's why they're there.
I just wondered if that's where the questioning of the 22% might.
No, I'm just saying there'll be somebody at some point, as you know, I don't mean now.
Yeah.
But 5 years from now. Well, what do you mean we get 22%? We should be getting 48.5% like the NFL does.
Well, if they unionize the collective bargain, that's probably going to be the first thing that's brought up in that. I mean, let's be honest.
Sure. but this is what we're facing from now on. Everything changes tomorrow. The Big Ten, SEC, Pac-12, and the NCAA Board of Governors, the last four entities that have to vote, are all voting tomorrow. The ACC and the Big 12 have already said yes. Just checking, what's the NBA CBA number? Same thing. In the latest CBA, the players in the NBA are getting 49% to 51% of the revenue. Okay. So there you go. So that's right in the neighborhood of what the pros are getting. Now, these aren't pros. And remember, I don't care what anybody says, the doggone scholarship means something. That's a lot of money. Everyone thinks like there's no money that changes hands on scholarships. They just show up and go to work. Please, okay? Use some semblance of common sense. You hit a button and the money goes from one entity into the bursar's office. Done. Okay? Okay, you may not see it, but it happens. I always love that. Oh, well, it's actually a blah, blah, blah. It's actually like, keep your mouth shut. every athletic director I've ever talked to, you know what the biggest issue they have waiting for them every single year on the financial side is? Okay. When the Board of Trustees votes the second week of July on tuition increases. What is the increase? Because that's the part they're waiting to see. It's like, okay, so we have to now, the scholarship number goes up, the housing number goes up. See what I mean? Like that, they tell me all the time, that's the part that we're waiting for. Gee, it must be actually real money. It's a naive world out there, man. It really is. Somebody asked me a long time ago what I found out about this job that I didn't know. And I said, you know what I found out? It's like, there's a bunch of stuff people don't know. They think they do, but they don't.
That's what I was just going to say, that they assume they know, but
right,
they do
exactly.
Not.
Exactly. Yep. So everything changes tomorrow. Essentially, this is pay for play. I shouldn't say essentially. It is pay for play. They're going to have to put together caps now on roster size. You're saying, well, they already have that. You have already, with the 85 scholarship limit and 13 in men's basketball and 15 in women's basketball and 9.9 in wrestling. Based on what I understand, it's now going to be a roster size. And I'll give you an example. There already is, for example, a roster size cap for the preseason. In football, you're allowed to have 105 players. You can't increase the roster with additional, quote, walk-ons until classes begin.
I was going to say, I did see that they are talking about taking away the scholarship caps in other sports as well.
Right.
For that reason. Be interested to see how they handle some of those other sports with that.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how they handle other sports with the $20
million. Well, that's true, too.
I mean, this is going to be... I almost feel like the conferences need to get together, and they're the ones that need to discuss the percentage that goes to football and men's basketball. And now, whatever you give the men's basketball, you have to give the exact same amount to women's basketball. No question. Okay? It's got to be the same. I don't know. I mean, this will be a tricky part, but you have to have some sort of unity as to how it's done. You can't just have, well, the SEC, but so many places have fewer sports. I already went through this the other day, I think, with you about, like, Alabama has 17, Texas has 15, something like that. Penn State's got 31. Ohio State has 34. All right.
You think Gene Smith's breathing a big old sigh of relief these days?
Oh, he's leaving.
Yeah.
And I've met and talked to Gene a couple times. I mean, I like him. He's a smart guy. Ross Bjork is now the one sitting there going, really?
Yeah.
It's great. Yeah. I love Texas A&M. Yeah.
The Jimbo Fisher saga sounds quaint to him now.
Yeah, well, you know what? He would have faced the same thing at Texas A&M as he's facing now at Ohio State.
Oh, that's true.
You know? I will say this. The you heard about how Jimbo got bought out, right? The boosters, okay, they did not go to the 12th man fund to buy him out, $77 million. The boosters came up with the money. Yike.
It's probably part of the reasons why gas prices went up. The A&M boosters had to pay for Jimbo.
Darn. Now I'm really angry.
There's your unintended consequence, right?
Doggone it. All right. Okay. So everything changes tomorrow because everybody is going to give the thumbs up to this. And notice again, how, like the grant of rights, how big's the document? 13 pages. That's it. Okay? In a lot of ways, sometimes the fewer and more direct it is, the fewer loopholes there are. Whew. It's a, everything, okay, we've had the dramatic change with NIL and the portal. This, though, is the sea change right here. And starting in 2025, players, I mean, all of them across the board will be getting, money. And I think the era of the walk-on is over. All right. Opening half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet, which Todd felt he needed in the opening 2 minutes of the show.
You're not wrong.
Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
You want a unique way to display your brand. You need a team of seasoned experts to work with. You want to reach customers who buy. You want NIL Game Changers, a versatile consulting agency powered by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents. NIL Game Changers will help you build powerful relationships with customers through compelling stories, with student athlete influencers as your leading edge. Finally, we'll equip you with the right media to drive your success home. NILGameChangers.org, building meaningful relationships with your customers.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And this half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities for both athletes and businesses. Visit NILGameChangers.org to begin your journey today. All right, one other quick money note, and that is... The NBA appears to be close now on the Disney, NBC, Amazon triumvirate to broadcast their games. That means Turner will be out. They say the total number is going to be near what they had hoped for, $7 billion per year. It's, you know, that's not quite triple, but it's close to tripling what they, you know, they were hoping for. 7.5. They announced 7.5. They're going to get 7. They're close. I said they'd get about 6.5. Going to get 7. How about that? But there supposedly is language in there about matching offers and so forth. That, but one thing about Warner Brothers Discovery, which owns Turner. You know, people don't realize they're $40 billion in debt.
Still less debt than Peacock.
Oh. what was Peacock? $600 billion or some number like
it's
that, right?
Some unfathomable three-digit number in front of million.
Yeah, 600, yeah, whatever. Yeah. I mean... It's, I don't know. But that's the part a lot of people don't realize. I mean, it's like, these companies, they need the sports dollars. I got that. Because it's one thing about sports, it's the only appointment television left. I mean, you could talk about, hey, I was able to put it on DVR. Most people don't DVR this. But Warner Brothers Discovery is reportedly $40 billion in debt. Can they afford matching rights? I don't know. $40
billion. The NBA's argument is their matching rights is to the main.
Yes.
And they're trying to use a backdoor and say that that new thing, the C-list stuff that either Prime, I think it's the Peacock thing, is they want to match that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Amazon would get it, NBC would get it, and ESPN ABC would get it. That's the bottom line there.
I honestly don't care, other than the fact that it's we'll lose the inside the NBA.
Well, if I'm NBC, and I'm not, I sit back and say, you know, what's my best chance of really giving me the lead in that makes this great? And that's keeping that gang together. But Ernie Johnson has already said he's not leaving Turner. This is where you negotiate something. You know, you see announcers all the time. You know, Kirk Herbstreit's able to do games on Amazon, right? Okay. You'll see in the NCAA tournament guys that may be doing some other network end up being a part of the NCAA tournament broadcast.
Didn't they trade for Al Michaels?
Yes, they did. Yeah, that was the Rabbit. NBC traded the rights to the cartoon Rabbit, and it's not Bugs Bunny. Which, whatever. Yeah, but that's been done before. But I say to them, hey, we'll do studio rental. We'll keep the show in Atlanta. And we will keep doing it. That would be, to me, the only shot of keeping that group together. But it's also a group that, in my opinion, in this television world, is worth keeping together. I mean, no offense, I could take the NFL today and go, okay, well, we'll make it work. We'll come up with people. Yeah, these guys are a little different. There's a chemistry there that you just can't manufacture. Everybody tries to come up with groups with chemistry. You don't know until it happens. The vast majority of them don't have it. This group does. When you have something like that, you want to keep it together.
I mean, it seems to be one of the few things that everybody enjoys.
Yes, agreed. Agreed, and it's done a lot for the popularity of the NBA. It's helped that kind of show has been on a multitude of reasons. One of those, if you're going to list like 25 reasons why the NBA has become as popular as it is today, on that 25 reasons, that show might be somewhere in there. I'm not saying it's 1, 2, or whatever. It may be 24 or 25, but they're one of them. And that's story there. Beaver Stadium. All right. Beaver Stadium. I think a lot depends on your background in any opinion that you put forward in life. What's your background? What do you understand? What are you used to? If you're in a business background, which is what I grew up around, my father started his own business. He started it literally from scratch. Right? My brother now owns it. And I've already outlined before, I'm not going to go back, about some of the risks that he took along the way. And, you know, and there are times where, you know, they had a lot of work, you know, there weren't many times he was slow with work. There were times where he was slow with work, you know, putting out more quotes. But the biggest problem he ever had was do the work and wait to get paid. That was always the big one. Were there times when I was a kid where my parents, because the employees always get paid first, except on this show, where the employees always get paid first. Okay. And for the household and mortgages and things like that, my parents were using their savings. And then there are other times where, you know, everything flowed along beautifully, and he took chances with the idea that the chance would pay off. You have to have foresight. You have to have vision. You have to have expectations. And you have to have some guts. You have to have some guts. Now, I was talking to a friend of mine here in town, here in State College, who owns a business. I said, Ray, I said, how much money did you invest in machinery over the years? I said, you know, I said, I'm going to assume millions. He goes, oh, God, yes. I said, and you had an expectation it would pay off, right? He goes, yeah. I said, did it always pay off? He says, most of the time, yes, but not every time. That's business. So now let's get to Beaver Stadium. I understand the thought process. And of what they're trying to do with this. And I'm going to give you two concrete examples of passable versus getting your money's worth. All right. And that is the Bryce Jordan Center in Pagoula Ice Arena. So we'll use two Penn State examples, both financed in different ways. We know Pagoula, Kim and Terry Pagoula donated the money. When they need a little bit more at the end, they donated the difference. All right. And the Jordan Center, which was 60% state money, 40% fundraising. Okay. Like the state put $33 million into the Jordan Center. The Jordan Center is passable. The Jordan Center is the jack of all trades, but the master of none. I think that's a fair assessment of it. The Jordan Center is the jack of all trades, but the master of none. It is passable as a concert venue. It is passable as an event venue. It is passable as a wrestling venue. It is passable as a basketball venue. It's passable on all those levels. Okay? I didn't say it's a failure on any of those levels. No, it is absolutely not a failure on any of those levels. It's passable on all those levels. Maybe a little bit better for a couple things than others. But again, when they went to build it, there are a couple things that influenced how the building turned out under the jack of all trades, master of none. And that is, they wanted an arena that could accommodate hockey. And if you go into the Jordan, now this is something you'd have to walk on the concrete floor of the Jordan Center. I think the vast majority of you don't have that opportunity, where the stands are all back and the court's not down. You know, when I've gone through, just walking through there for whatever it happened to be, you can see the outline that is there on the concrete floor of the hockey arena. It's there. The outline is there. Well, of course, they never put hockey in there. And the other part was they wanted to put 8 wrestling mats in that venue so they could host the NCAA Wrestling Championships. Those are 2 of the things that came up in the final stages of the planning. Well, they hosted one NCAA. That was, what, 1999? Well, now the building is too small for the specs. I think the specs, you have to be a minimum of an 18,000-seat arena to have the NCAA Wrestling Championships. I believe it goes to Philadelphia next year, to Wells Fargo. Well, the building's too small now. When they hosted it here, because of the seating for the media and everything else that you need for the event, they got about 13,500 for it each time out. And again, for the NCAA's specs, that's too small. So the arena is too long. The bottom line is it's too long. And and that's because of the hockey part, which never went in there, and the NCAA Wrestling Championship idea, which only happened once. So now it becomes passable as a basketball arena, passable as, you know, as a concert arena and so forth. Okay. Now let's go to Pegula. I worked on the Big Ten Network with a guy that was in the NHL. And he, the first time he'd been in the building, he toured all over the place, you know, during the morning skate. He comes up to me, he says, "Steve, this building has everything in it." I said, "The only building in the NHL that has everything this place has is Toronto." I said, "You're kidding me." He says, "No." I said, "Wow." It was an interesting admission. And the building does have everything. I mean, you know, you talk about taking care of the little things, big things take care of themselves. Why is the inner roof, the ceiling, tin? Keep the noise in. The ice. I know it sounds simple. It's water. You freeze it. It's ice. But there's a way to do it, which is called fast ice. Well, guess what? They do it at Pegula. That building is used 350 to maybe 360 days out of the year. That's what you wanted. So now let's get to Beaver Stadium. My point about the Jordan Center is this. And my point about Pegula is this. You have one chance when you do something like this to do it right. One chance. Because if you don't do it right, you spend a lot of time working around it and trying to correct it in subsequent years. Pegula, you don't have to do anything to it. There's nothing to correct in there. What's there to correct? Beautifully planned, beautifully laid out, well executed, Pegula is tremendous. Now, obviously, it helps when you have a single donor, the money's taken care of, and you can put every amenity in there possible. Hot tubs, cold tubs, training room, everything all at once. Okay? Plenty of locker room space, though, everything. But they did it right. They don't have to do any corrections to Pegula. In the Jordan Center, it's a constant complaint and fight because on every level it's passable. No question. It is passable and it works. But it's not the best basketball venue out there. It's not the best wrestling venue out there. It's not maybe, you know, it's actually a really good concert venue. Really good concert venue. But now you got Beaver Stadium. You could sit there and do the basic number. What would it take to make Beaver Stadium passable moving forward? You'd have to do all the deferred maintenance on it. You're talking about, in the end, as inflation happens and so forth, of $200 to $300 million. That really is the number you'd need. It really is. To do it. Or you can do this for the additional $630 million and go for it. And do it right the first time. And I realize that there are legitimate questions. All right, how are you going to pay for it? Legitimate questions. Questions that should always be asked. You should always ask these questions. Get as many answers as possible. So I respect anybody that has that question. But there's an opportunity now where that stadium, based on what they want to do with it, can be used, not just the field part of it, but over and over and over again for various events, conferences, things like that, that people want to be there, rent it out, do so, you know, where it's in use so many days during the course of the year that opens the door to start making up for this. And can you put the Winter Classic in there? Yep, you can do that. Flyers, Penguins. Okay, Allie Krieger brought up the World Cup. Now, the World Cup, I'd like to point out, in 1993, FIFA came to State College in 1993 to do a site survey on Beaver Stadium for the World Cup. As one of the few people left here in town, it seems like, that was around when this happened 31 years ago. I feel like I'm the only person left that can tell the story. You know what really derailed what they wanted to do here? Not enough hotel rooms. Now, that, you know, but they also have certain specs that they need. They'd have to, like, you know, temporarily raise everything up and so forth to do this, because there are certain specs as to, you know, the width and how much length is from the end lines to the baselines to the stands, the sidelines to the, you know, things like that. But Allie Krieger brought up the Women's World Cup has a good chance of coming to the United States in 2031. This could be a site for it. And there are more hotels here now, not enough, but there are more hotels here now than there were when they did the site survey for the Men's World Cup. This was the Men's World Cup in 94, was in the United States. They came here in 93, and they did a site survey, FIFA did, on Beaver Stadium because they were looking at big venues to host. You have one chance to do this. It should have been done, I've said before, it should have been done, it should have been done 5-6 years ago, all right? Doesn't matter. It wasn't, so you've got to, you know, you have to go with today's prices. But you have one chance to do it. If you have the one chance to do it right. Do it right. Because I've seen passable. I work in passable. In other words, good enough and passable. All right? I go to other places that are, wow, what a place. This is a great, quote, basketball arena. Same architect as the Jordan Center, as the Breslin Center. It's a basketball arena. Same architect. They didn't think about putting ice in there. They didn't think about putting NCAA wrestling in there, things like that. They didn't think about that. They said, okay, what can we do to make this a great basketball arena? Breslin is the exact architect as the Jordan Center. Same one. As a basketball arena, Breslin Center is impassable. It's exceptional. So when you have a chance to do it right, do it big, have big expectations, and finance to your expectations. You have low expectations, right? Then you lowball it. You have big expectations, you go for it. You make sure when you do it right the first time. My opinion might not be yours. All right, come back more in a moment. This half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities for both athletes and businesses. Visit NILGameChangers.org to start your journey today on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sunbury Motors Ford and North 4th Street Auto Plaza is having their spring SUV sales event. SMC has 17 of the iconic 2024 Ford Bronco Sports, and they are slashed up to $5,500, and they start from just $28,435. Sunbury Motors has the fuel-efficient Ford Escape discounted up to $4,000 and priced from only $29,935. Plus, qualified buyers get 0% financing. Choose from 28 new Ford Explorers, and SMC has them reduced to the lowest price ever offered. Just $39,770. Sunbury Motors has the roomy and reliable 2024 Ford Edge discounted $4,500, and they are priced from only $37,565. With 0% financing for 48 months, Sunbury Motors is a fifth-generation Ford dealership, proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915. SMC is where you want to be in May for your next new SUV.
Spring has sprung, and it's time to dust off those insurance policies. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855 or visit our website at purdyinsurance.com to see what we can do for you.